Hello and welcome, everyone. I'm Dr. Ed Staffel. I'm a dentist practicing here in San Antonio, and you're listening to the Dr. Staffel program, and your smile matters. So please give me a call today. We have no guests, and the lines are open. The number, of course, is 210-599-5555. And I would love to hear from you and discuss any kind of an oral question or dental question or an oral systemic connected question that I can help you, give you information on. And we've got a lot of things to talk about today. So I will be happy to take your calls. However, you can chat about anything of a oral health nature or oral health, general health connection, or maybe a dental dilemma of a problem that you're wanting more information on, or you've come up with a dental problem and you don't know how to make an informed decision, and if I can give you more information on that, I would love to be able to help you out with that. So give us a call. Of course, it's 210-599-5555, and visit with us. Be happy to visit and hear what your dental needs are. Let me go to the lines here first. We have a caller, Donna. Donna, how are you today? Donna? Hello, Donna? Okay. Well, if you'll call back, we seem to have lost her here. Oh, wait a minute. Here we go. Donna? No, we're still not there. All right. Again, the number is 210-599-5555. Okay. If you'll call back, we'll be glad to talk to you. So, we have a podcast, and the podcast address is staffelDDS.podomatic.com, and you can dial into about 9 or 10 years of podcasts, a lot of interesting information. And this program, of course, will be put up within a matter of short minutes after it's over, if there's anything that you want to rehear. And get some more information on. And then I have a website, sanantoniodentist.net. And be sure and use that. We have got a lot of good information on that. And you're listening to the program by Dr. Staffel and Williamson. Dr. Williamson is my new associate. He is really a very fine dentist, and he's just doing some incredible things. Has been a straight-A student all the way through the University of Texas, starting out at the University of Texas in Austin, and then UTSA here in a master's program, and then the dental school, and then a residence program. So he is just really unique. And hope you get the chance to meet him or come by. And he is so informative. He knows about, won the top award in pharmacology, top award in pathology, top award in restoring mouths, and prosodontics, it's called. And just a remarkable young man. So we're so proud of him and want you to meet him and want you to meet him soon. So our call, our phone number is 210-341-2569, 210-341-2569. That's Dr. Staffel and Williamson. Now, today, I want to direct your attention to something that's just keeps getting larger and larger, as far as the public is concerned. That is, the information is being expanded continuously as we learn more information about this problem. And it's a very simple problem. And it has to do with airway and how well you breathe at night when you're sleeping. So one of the things that's come out, and I find this very interesting, and it's about diabetes, facts and figures, and diabetes is, as we all know, it's a tremendous, tremendous problem. And especially in our area, because there's such a high genetic incidence of people carrying a diabetic gene, and then when they fall off watching how much sugar they're consuming and refined carbohydrates, things go awry. But coupled into that is obstructive sleep apnea. So we're going to talk about diabetes and obstructive sleep apnea. Now, what obstructive sleep apnea, it's really simple. It's just a matter of having difficulty, unknowns to you, having difficulty breathing at night because of the shape of your airway. Maybe it's the shape of your throat. Maybe it's the accumulation of fat around your airway, which is particularly prominent in men, especially as you gain weight. The fat underneath the tongue gets larger, or more volume, and interferes with the air passageway. And as a result, your airway will be stopped up, so to speak, and your brain, which is in charge of telling you and keeping you alive, it's in charge of telling you that you don't have enough oxygen. Of course, it doesn't tell you that. It just wakes you up. And as a result, you're awakened all night long as you have this blockage occur, but it wakes you up in a way that you don't know it, so that you never get a rested sleep. You never get down to the level 3 restorative delta sleep, which is so terribly important for your body to regenerate itself. So what's being found out is there is a very strong connection between diabetes mellitus, which is a chronic disease characterized by high blood glucose levels, and obstructive sleep apnea risk factors. So we just want to bring this to your attention, because the numbers are pretty interesting. The numbers show that the link between sleep disordered breathing, now that's where it may be snoring, it may be not snoring, it may be just a difficult airway passageway coming, you have difficult passageway of air through your trachea, and you're just not getting enough airway, adequate airway, when you're asleep. So you may be holding your breath, or it just may be a very constricted amount of air coming through your throat and airway. And it's easy to measure this. That's a neat thing. It doesn't take it's not a real difficult thing to measure. In fact, in our office, we have a screening device that you can take with a evaluation and take this home, use it 2 nights. It's just like a wristwatch with a finger oximeter, and this would give us a good screening to tell you, the patient, whether or not you have a problem and whether or not you need to proceed to find a sleep doctor, a medical doctor who is trained and board certified in sleep apnea. And the reason being, in dentistry, we cannot diagnose as dentists. We can screen, but it takes, the diagnosis has to come through a medical doctor showing that the problem is a significant problem and it can be fixed. So sleep disordered breathing, which we were just talking about, of which obstructive sleep apnea, which is holding your breath while you don't know that you're holding your breath while you are asleep. The sleep disordered breathing is the most common form. It's a significant problem that affects many serious chronic conditions. For instance, 37% of patients with high blood pressure and 77% of the very obese people suffer from sleep apnea. So recent research demonstrates the likelihood of a relationship between type 2 diabetes and sleep apnea, in particular the obstructive sleep apnea, which is the blockage or holding your breath while you are asleep. And it holding your breath, it may be for a matter of half a minute. It may be for a minute. I've seen it in multiple minutes in patients as they test out. The worst I saw was holding, the person was holding their breath for 6 minutes at times while the patient was asleep. So fortunately that doesn't happen very often, but any kind of disruption in that airway, the brain is very, very particular about having enough oxygen for the brain to function properly, because it's always running. It's running a very strong pace at night while you're asleep, your subconscious is. And, of course, your heart is always running, and it needs a lot of oxygen. It's an oxygen hog. Your brain's an oxygen hog. So the brain is always making sure that everything's adequately aerated and oxygenated. And this is part of it. So the neat thing is it can be screened and then tested and then a solution. There are multiple solutions to correct it. But today we'll talk about evidence also shows that 48% of patients with type 2 diabetes suffer from the sleep apnea. So in very overweight people, the prevalence of sleep apnea has been shown to be 86%. So weight is a big factor here. And then this is tied to type 2 diabetes. Now, the physiological link between sleep apnea, which is holding your breath, or disturbed airway, insulin resistance, and diabetes. And research indicates that sleep apnea is independently associated with insulin resistance. Insulin resistance is when the insulin is not utilized properly or effectively, and it puts you into a very bad situation and leading to hypertension, obesity, sleep apnea. And so elevated levels of the hormone cortisol, which is released under conditions of stress, also lead to excessive blood sugar levels and reduced insulin sensitivity. So there are other things going on here. An accumulation of a sleep debt due to sleep fragmentation is what happens. You don't get the sleep that you need. You don't get the reparative sleep in the delta stage 3 sleep and the rapid eye movement that has been discovered. So the effects of CPAP therapy. Now, CPAP therapy is the breathing mask. It's one of the treatments for sleep disordered breathing or CPAP therapy. Within 48 hours, significant improvements have been demonstrated in insulin sensitivity using CPAP therapy. So controlling insulin sensitivity, therefore blood glucose, is the key for diabetes patients. And so this suggests that sustained CPAP use may be an important therapy for diabetes patients with sleep apnea. Of course, there's a CPAP, that's a breathing mask, there's a mandibular dental advancement device. There are multiple surgical pathways also for correcting this particular problem. And there's another device called Inspire that the ENT surgeons can use. And this is sort of like a pacemaker for the keeping the tongue out of the way of the back of the throat. It's very interesting. thing. But the key thing here is that glucose values are significantly reduced with the breathing device of a CPAP. And it happens within 4 hours, and it's associated with a fall in mean systemic blood pressure of 10 millimeters. So there are 10 points that your blood pressure, your systemic blood pressure will drop, which has effects on cardiac complications. And of course, these are priorities for diabetes patients and clinicians. So what to do? Well, first you're going to, the dentist is going to assess. We have just a small questionnaire, and then we screen with another questionnaire. If there's a positive screen on the first assessment, then it's screened again with a larger questionnaire. And then we refer you to a sleep clinic or to the physician or to your physician for a referral to a sleep clinic. And in the meantime, as I mentioned, we can also have you, before you go this route, you can use the sleep screening device that you wear like a wristwatch overnight, wear it for 2 nights in a row with an oximeter, and that'll give us a very strong indication of either that you have a big problem, a moderate problem, or no problem at all. So this is the way you approach these things. And now diabetes mellitus is a chronic disease. It's characterized by high blood glucose levels. Now, the human body uses glucose as its main source of energy and metabolizes this from foods containing carbohydrates. We all know this. And so the glucose that is developed from food in the body must transfer from the blood into the body's cells to allow the body to function, because your muscles work on glucose, your brain works on glucose, but all these things have to be in balance. And insulin is a hormone produced by the pancreas, and insulin is responsible for opening the glucose channels that allow the glucose to transfer from the blood to the cells where glucose metabolism takes place. Now keep that in mind. The insulin is responsible for opening these glucose channels that allow the glucose to transfer from the blood to the cells where the glucose usage takes place. In diabetes, the pancreas either cannot produce insulin, or the insulin that is produced cannot work properly. Without insulin performing its role, the glucose channels remain closed, causing glucose to build up in the blood, which then leads to high blood glucose levels. So high glucose levels cause significant health problems linked to diabetes. So it's that description is pretty accurate, or is very accurate. And the pancreas can't either produce insulin, or the insulin that is produced cannot work properly. That's what it is. And so the complications of diabetes are pretty severe. And it's sort of I see in my patient base, and have for years, the lack of seriousness that people put on the diabetes, especially diabetes 2. Now, diabetes 1, you can't do anything about that. That the insulin-producing cells in type 1, the pancreas cannot produce insulin because the insulin-producing cells have been destroyed by the body's own immune system. So it's the least common form of diabetes, fortunately, with about 8% of all diabetes patients. So type 1 diabetes cannot be prevented or cured. So we're not talking about that. We're talking about type 2 diabetes, which is a lifestyle disease where poor nutritional behavior leads to elevated blood glucose levels. So what can happen with diabetes? And this is so interesting, because our my patients seem to just accept it, and they, even though there's some really good things that can be done about it. So here are the diabetes complications. Blindness. That's when the eyes just give out. Kidney failure. I think I've talked to physicians, and like 90% of the people that are on dialysis are kidney failure patients of diabetes complications. That's pretty bad, especially when you understand that it's a preventive thing. Then there are neuropathic complications, and of course that's when people get have trouble with the feeling the nerves in their feet, can't feel anything at all and get infections, and the infection gets out of control because they can't feel any, they don't have any nerve feeling in their feet, and eventually if it get infection gets bad enough, it leads to amputations. And if you go over to the university center, you'll see people with this situation where they've had an amputation of a foot or a leg, and it's typically due to diabetes complications. And then there's coronary heart disease, there's high blood pressure, cardiac abnormalities, and then of course there's stroke, and then peripheral vascular disease. So these are just some of the complications of diabetes. And here's an interesting fact. 90% of people with type 2 diabetes are overweight or obese. Another, diabetes patients are 2 to 3 times more likely to have cardiovascular disease, heart disease. 80% of all diabetes sufferers die of cardiovascular disease. 23.6 million people, or 7.8% of the U.S. population, have diabetes. So, what is the diabetes treatment? Well, the hemoglobin A1C, which is a gold standard measurement, it's a 90-day balance. You want the HbA1C, you want it less than 5.7 if you're non-diabetic. If you're diabetic, you want it between 5.7 to 6.9%. That's an acceptable control. If it's over 7%, that's a poor control in diabetic patients, and you need to do something about it. And treatment also includes lifestyle management, continuous monitoring of the diet, regular exercise regime. And in 2003 and 2004, 75% of adults with self-reported diabetes had blood pressure greater than 130 over 80 millimeters mercury, or used prescription medications for hypertension. That's 75%. That was in 2003 through 2004, and it's probably more so than that now. So, what's the point? The point is, there's a connection between sleep-disordered breathing and diabetes, and diabetes being a very damaging disease that it seems like it's taken too lightly in today's world. And of course, the biggest culprit, and we see this in dentistry, is sugar, too much consumption of sugar, refined carbohydrates, and in addition to doing the damage of diabetes and the diabetic complications, the sugar is damaging the body in a number of other different ways. And the teeth are involved, yes. It's just a real problem with teeth. And so the thing about it is, for type 2 diabetes, it can be corrected. It's possible to correct it without medication. Most people, it seems like, the patients that I run into that have diabetes refer to medication and use medications quite more frequently than going through a disciplined approach of diet and exercise. So, and of course, the complications of the cost the energy levels, loss of energy, then there are a lot of other medical complications that can be connected to this. So I just wanted to bring this as an update. We've talked about it before. Just wanted to bring it as an update. And I want you to, if you have any questions, make an appointment with Dr. Staffel and Williamson. And our number is 210-341-2569. We can help you with this. We can help you make a determination of what's going on and give you some pathways for correction of this particular problem. So we can't prescribe medicines, no, but we can certainly give you other pathways that are available for this type 2 diabetes problem, which is really severe. It's just something that you don't want in your life if you can possibly avoid it. If it's already there, take steps to work away from it, which it's very possible. So, again, if you'd like an evaluation, dental evaluation, which would help guide you along this line, give us a call. Our number is 210-341-2569. Now, one of the things that Dr. Williamson and I have put together is a process of evaluating a person's oral condition for particular problems, long-term problems. That is, it's not unusual for us to see a patient come in, and the patient will be retired and will really have some significant dental issues. I mean, significant. And so it's got us to thinking, well, why did this happen? And then can we help people avoid getting into this condition so that you're getting ready to retire in 5, 10, or 15 years, and you think, oh, well, when I get retired, I'll take care of it at that time. I'll have the time to do it. Maybe I'll have more money to do that. It just doesn't work that way very well because of the length of time, especially if you put off seeking out dental treatment, everything has gotten much worse. So then the correction of the problem can be very large and damaging to your dental health as well as your oral health. And this can affect some interesting things. For treatment, for instance, if you're going to have chemotherapy or radiation therapy, this all goes into it as well. So let me go to the lines here a moment, and I want to talk to Linda. Linda, how are you?
I'm just fine. Hello, Dr. Staffel. I really enjoy your program.
Thank you.
Well, I have a couple of questions, and
yes,
and then I just wanted to say something that I read.
Okay.
One on that end was that, and I can't remember if it was in a news release or something, but that San Antonio had like the highest number of amputations, I guess per city population or something like that, and I'm sure it's due to the high number of diabetics. Wouldn't you say probably? That's what they were saying.
That is exactly right. Like I was describing, if you go to the University Hospital, you see pretty large number of people in that condition.
Yeah.
And it's because we have such a high genetic factor of diabetes in the Hispanic population, it seems, that and then their diet is not conducive to avoiding the degeneration of the neuropathological problem. So I wouldn't doubt that. I have not seen that number, but that would fit with the numbers we have. Texas has one of the highest numbers of diabetes in the United States, so it would certainly fit.
Right. And then my other question, and it deals with something what you just brought up about the diet, is I was talking to a good friend of mine who is actually has some other health issues due to his diabetes. Now he's got, you know, vascular issues as well, and with his arteries, et cetera. But anyway, that he went on the keto diet for 2 weeks, and in that two-week time, his sugar levels came down so, you know, low, they almost normalized, not quite, but where at least, and he was on a high doses of insulin. I'm not sure how much he took, but he had to take quite a bit that, I guess, his new endocrinologist told him that if he stayed on that, that he could definitely come down to, at the very least, just, you know, oral medication, if hopefully maybe cut it out, but at least down to oral. And so if you could expound a little bit on the keto diet, that would be great. And then I have, then I'll listen. But I have one other question, and this is kind of off topic. So if you don't really want to deal with it, I can call another time. But that Smile Direct about the Invisalign,
is that
they make it sound so simplistic, and they make these things for you. You have them on X amount of time. You get another. They do the scan with it's really neat, the machine that they use. I can't think what it's called.
It's an element.
But anyway.
It's the Invisalign iTero element.
Right, exactly. And they do that, and then they mail them back to, I mean, extremely less costly than with some orthodontia, you know. And so I just wondered if you could give me your thoughts on that as well.
Oh, yes. Yes. Now, okay. Let me start with the keto diet. I will bring a real good description of that, because I don't want to state something that I'm not that familiar with, because, and I'll cover that next week.
Okay.
But back to the Invisalign. Invisalign has over 4 million cases that they draw their data from when they're making their aligners. Now, I've been doing Invisalign since when it first came out, 2001.
Oh, wow.
And we do it now. We have the iTero scanner, which is a phenomenal device. And the thing about it is, there is so much more. Well, let me put it this way. If you have a tooth that's sort of poked out of alignment, or maybe you've had orthodontic treatment and it's starting to collapse or regress, and it doesn't take a lot of movement, you can use that type of service. Mm-hmm. But the cases that we run into, there's usually when they start wanting to do something about it, and the main reason they want to do something about it is not for a cosmetic feature, which it's always good for, but it's for a cleanliness feature, to where you can't get your teeth cleaned thoroughly without where the calculus accumulates in these teeth that are piled up on top of each other. And so this is where the real value of Invisalign takes place. Now, when you're dealing with the Invisalign, or when you're dealing with, there are other choices. There's Clear Correct, which is another aligner thing, which is an offshoot of the early Invisalign. And there are other processes as well. But if it's a very minor thing, something like that can work. But there's a lot more to it. There is a temporomandibular joint. There are pressure points, and the teeth have to be, the pressure points have to be fixed. And the thing about the iTero in a dental office, it's archived for 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the iTero, when we do the scan, it will show year to year on a new scan each year, in between taking x-rays each year. You alternate between x-rays and the iTero scan, and it will show in time-lapse photography where on the teeth, time-lapse photography of movement of the teeth, time-lapse photography of gum recession. It'll also show pressure points and teeth under trauma. Well, if you're getting this out of a
basically like mail order sort of.
Yeah,
really,
if you're getting this out of an Amazon, thing, you're not going to get any of those features, which can lead to some serious trouble with your teeth, especially when you start getting into losing the nerves, losing the gum tissue. And
well, that's what I was wondering, like, if it starts to move or whatever, and then maybe you get some loosening. I don't know if that happens or not. I'm just kind of assuming there's going to be some either tightening or loosening or something, and you're not really seeing a doctor. I didn't know. They made it sound like, oh, we just do another, you know, we send you the gradient, the next level, or
sure.
I don't know. So I
well, as long as it's not complicated, that's an easy thing. But unfortunately, the mouth is and the teeth are very complicated structures, and it's not that easy. And then you have
I was kind of leery of that too. I mean, I was impressed with the machine, which now I understand you use that as well. I didn't realize that, you know, other dentists use it too, because I went ahead and just went in. They had like a free complimentary introductory, and the machine was amazing.
Oh,
you know,
it is.
It really was. I mean, you know, just the imaging and everything. But then when I thought about, you know, it's just kind of, they just kind of have a progression of what you're going to do, and you're going to change every 6 weeks or whatever it is. And I don't know. I'm just thinking back to my kids when they were in the traditional orthodontia and how often we had to go in and everything. And I know this is different, but still, I was a little worried about that and the loosening of teeth mainly. That was what I was worried about.
Well, you
I
have
don't want to lose any teeth.
No, you won't lose any teeth with it, but you have another factor involved, and that is once your teeth are straightened up, you have to have a series of retainers. Now, if it's, they're going to move, your teeth are going to move, they're always going to move. And with this movement, it can be from pressure, like I was talking about. A tooth can be under pretty severe pressure, and that pressure has to be eliminated. Otherwise, it's going to be damaging to the tooth, and it's going to move the other teeth. And also, when to get the room for this, you have to very carefully remove a portion of the tooth structure in a healthy way. That is no more than half a millimeter of adjacent teeth.
Shave
the tooth
off.
Yes. That's
okay.
That's
exactly
right.
So, all right.
But there are other things as far as the condition of the teeth and the condition of the mouth that go into this whole process of moving the teeth around and wearing the teeth, so that if you have just a very slight amount of movement to be done, that works great. But if you typically, we don't see that very often. We have our cases are pretty involved, and orthodontists are using Invisalign quite a bit. And then you have, what's it going to look like 5 years from now? What's it going to look 10 years from now? How are you going to follow up with the gum loss? How are you going to follow up with the collapse of the joint or changes in the joint? So this is where you're looking at one aspect, which is straightening a tooth with the aligners, which can be done if it's not complicated. And then you're looking at a 5, 10, 15, 20-year outcome. What's it going to look like then? Because there's so many other factors involved. So they have the data, and it's an Invisalign product. But if there's so much more to it than that from a dental standpoint.
Right.
I mean, there is a tremendous amount of things that have to be evaluated.
I didn't like that I wasn't going to be seeing a provider. You know, that kind of gave me quite a bit of pause, so I kind of postponed that and decided I'd look into it more before I moved in.
Well, here's the other thing. What about gum disease? What about bone loss around the housing of the teeth? This is a major, major factor. And just talking about the diabetes and the complication, gum disease is a complication of diabetes. Dry mouth, which is caused by the management of diabetes, the pharmaceuticals, is a complication. It's not just moving a tooth to get it to an ideal position. There's so much more to it, and it requires a professional evaluation and following it up constantly every required 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months. And then what about decay? Where is the right. decay being followed?
Followed. Mm-hmm. So, well, thank you so much. And I'll listen next week about the keto diet because I'm
yes.
interested in that. I mean, I'm,
I will have information for you.
Yeah, that has helped a lot. And I figured it probably would even help with losing weight as well, but especially with your maintaining your sugar levels. So,
yes.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Staffel.
Well, thank you for the call. Appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay, now then, my good friend Fuchsia, how are you doing today?
I'm doing just fine. I heard there's a new book out. It's called The Alzheimer's Solution.
And I have not seen that. I have not seen that. Who's the author?
I hadn't seen it either, but I heard about it. I didn't get the name of the author who had wrote it or anything. I just heard the name, and I wrote that down real quick, but then I did not get the person who wrote it down.
Well, I'll look it up, too. We're looking for information on that.
Oh, yeah. My friend told me, he said, don't worry about it. You're getting too old to get Alzheimer's. I said, I never heard of that.
But, well, you don't have it. I'll tell you that. You're as sharp as can be.
Oh, I tell you. I tell you, you know, I just thank you every day for recommending William Davison's
great
diet.
Great.
I tell you. I brought my A1C down from 5.7 to 4.9.
That is incredible. Oh, my gosh.
And
that makes you so healthy.
And it's on the wheat belly diet. And everybody said, I can't do that. But you know what?
They can. Yeah.
You can if you don't want to have diabetes.
Now, the other thing is that is controlling inflammation, and that is having a factor on the health of your brain and cognitive decline. There is so much data piling up that this is because when you have a A1C that's out of control, you've got inflammation, highly probable you're going to have inflammation. And if you have inflammation in the gums and the teeth, you're going to have that in the brain. So it's all tied together. Oh, gosh, it's tied together, the mouth and the housing, bone housing, and the teeth.
Oh, I tell you, I've been listening to you a long time. But I tell you, that was when you said about that little. It was in a little book that was at HEB.
Yeah.
And I went and run right over there, and I got three of them. One for me, and one for my daughters.
Oh, that's great.
And then, but I tell you, it was. I had said, boy, I said, I can do this.
That is marvelous.
Because I sure didn't want. I've got a nephew, and we call him the King of Denial.
Yeah.
Because he does not do anything really about. He takes medicine and stuff for his diabetes, but
oh,
he doesn't.
Oh gosh. Well, what's so neat is you can do this. You can do all of these corrective things without spending any money.
There's
that's what's so interesting. Why not do it?
One dime on medicine.
Yeah, yeah,
and I'm hoping to get rid of my high blood pressure medicine.
Yeah, right. Thank you so much, Fuchsia.
Okay, and. Thank you, and I just was wondering if you had heard about that book. And
I'll look it up.
Okay, I don't have a computer, and I said, oh, yeah, you look it up and you let us know about it.
Okay. And the name of it was The End of Alzheimer's?
No, Alzheimer's Solution.
Alzheimer's Solution.
The End of Alzheimer's.
Okay, I'll look it up.
It's like that other one, The Brain Solution.
Yeah.
That's how I can remember it, but I don't know who wrote this one.
Okay,
well, have
thank
you. Good
you.
Day.
Thank
God bless you.
Bye-bye. Bye. Okay, so now back to what Dr. Williamson and I are doing. We think we got to thinking that people come in and it's been a long time since they've had evaluations. They're thinking that they're going to retire and have the time to take care of their mouths and so on. So we see really a lot of destruction in people's mouths and a lot of oral health problems. So we've decided to take it a step further. And if, for instance, if you're planning to retire in 5 years or maybe 10 or 15 or even 20, it's not too early to come in and get an evaluation. We can give you a very, very thorough evaluation, and we can give you data that you will have in a paper copy. Even though all of our work is digital, we can transfer that to a paper copy that you can have this data about your teeth, your gums, your bone periodontal disease, gum disease, all different things of this type, what you need as far as correcting your teeth, as far as alignment, broken teeth, what you're facing with maybe root canals, or maybe you have root canals that are failing. We can give you a thorough evaluation, logging in all of this material, then put it into a paper form. And then on top of that, we'll outline a program where you can take and do maybe 1 year or 2 years or take 5 years to make the corrections that you, the dental corrections that you need to make. So this is so one of the things that we're looking forward to helping so many people, so that when you do retire, you will be in great shape. Your oral health will be in great shape. You'll have your teeth. They'll be in great shape. You won't be faced with big bills after retirement, because you can take, well, now with the preventive things that we have, like the sodium diamine, silver diamine fluoride. Silver diamine fluoride is something that's sweeping dentistry, sweeping the world as well, because it's being used in dental mission outreaches. It's being used in children's dentistry, and it's an interesting thing because it goes back, the history of it goes back to, 92 BC or something like that. And it's a silver diamine fluoride is a very unique structure, molecular structure. And it's an abatement program is actually what it is. That is, we can paint it on a decay lesion, and it will stop the decay for a certain period of time. At least it'll do it for 6 months. So a person, if they're not in a position to take care of their mouth all at once, well, then we can design a program using the silver diamine fluoride. We can design a program using the Lolos, which is helps remove the bacteria that cause decay. We can design a program of repairing and rebuilding teeth over a period of time, so that you're not stuck with one of these big bills after or as you near retirement, or if you're going into assisted living or so on. So. And the use of silver goes back centuries. And it was mentioned in a pharmacopoeia published in Rome in 69 BC. And it's been used in treatment of dental caries since the mid-1800s. So this is not anything new. They've modified it a little bit. And it's a silver nitrate solution. It also is good for tooth sensitivity. The formula is pretty simple. It's silver, about 25-26%, ammonia, about 10%, fluoride, about 5-6%, 5-6%, and then it may have a dye in it, FD&C blue number one. It may not. That's at 1%, and then deionized water at 62%. So this is something that is so neat, and it's just sweeping the dental field. It's sweeping the pedo field, because we can do an abatement. It's not a permanent treatment, but it can postpone treatment really nicely and protect teeth, protect the nerves, and that's what we're really interested in, keeping those nerves alive so that you don't have to go into root canals. And keeping a tooth whole so that the decay just doesn't eat the whole thing up. So this is just one of the features that we have that's such a neat thing. And then with the Lolos that I mentioned, that's a candy-like thing that will, you take 10 days of it, twice a day, and it removes the bacteria that causes decay, the strep mutans. So you can repeat that every 3 months, 4 months, 6 months, depending upon how bad your decay problem is or how well you can get into your sugar abatement diet that we are talking about that could be causing you diabetes. So this is one of the things that we have, which is so neat, and things are changing. We've never had all the things that we have now. And we also can take the intraoral pictures and show you what's going on. And then you can take this paper file, and when you go to a physician or a dental specialist, you'll have your own file and your own material that you can hand that to them and show them this is what you've done, this is where you were, this is, I mean, why wouldn't you want to do that? It is really, really a neat system and available. Okay, let me go to Bill. Bill, how are you today?
Well, I'm fine, doctor, and thank you for your show. I listen to it on occasion and what have you, and
thank you.
Always have a vision. You are a man, obviously, with a vision.
Thank you.
I have a, I'm unfortunately not retired, and I'm thinking about retirement, though.
How long?
I'm 80 and
right.
In pretty good health.
All right. Why do you want to retire?
Mean and nasty.
Why do you want to retire?
Well, I'm actually going to start a new business.
Okay.
That's
better.
Retire from one and do something that I want to do.
That's perfect.
Let me tell you where I am. I think I've spent a lot of time and effort over the last 5 years and a good bit of resources to bring my mouth up to what I'm told is pretty good shape for an old
Great.
Man.
Yes, sir.
Now, because of a situation, they, with my concurrence, of course, we put a bridge in.
Okay.
That went from the only tooth on the upper back to my, dog tooth.
Cuspid.
And it goes across and connects on to a lot of teeth on the right side, in the upper. It is a plastic in the middle between the things that clamp onto the teeth.
Yes, sir.
Because
partial.
You talked about something.
It's a removable.
Thank
a
you
removable,
very much. It comes in and comes out.
Yes, it's
blah,
a removable
blah, blah.
Partial.
Well,
yes. Okay.
My question is the center part, which is plastic of some sort, acrylic plastic or whatever, is quite thick.
Okay.
So I don't use it, only because I can chew and do what I need to, because it makes me sound, and I'm vain, and I don't want to sound.
Well, do you have
anyway.
Missing teeth with it? Do you have showing missing teeth?
No.
You don't wear it?
All the front teeth are beautiful.
Okay.
You know?
Okay,
when I say beautiful, they're all there.
Well,
no, it's just the way my tongue fits.
Sure.
It's thick.
The material we have.
Why don't we make it out of platinum or
we make it out of
titanium or something?
Yes, we make it out of titanium and it works beautifully, and it can be made extremely thin.
There's that option.
Oh yes, and it can be made to fit
like.
Would
it be thinner?
Yes, it'd be just almost as thin as your skin. It's titanium is extremely
strong. My skin is very very thick.
Well,
just teasing. Okay, so there is an option to this.
Oh heavens, yes. We have tremendous technology and tremendous technicians that are available to do this fabulous work. All right, give me a call at the office if I can help you. 210-341-2569. We've got a check out now, and we'll talk to you next week. Thank you very much for calling, Bill. We really appreciate that. And, yes, that problem's an easy problem. That's an easy fix. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening, and we'll talk to you next week. Have a great week, and God bless you. Bye-bye.